And buddy, welcome to the Friday Sports Line, the Bulldog Hour. Kevin Horry is always alongside. We'll take you to three. Normally, Phil with his great show behind the bench would have 3 hours, but today he has the single hour because at 4 o'clock it's time for the other semifinal, the Peach Bowl tonight, with the two marquee teams, if you will, in Indiana and Oregon. If they can top last night, however, particularly that fourth quarter, that's going to be pretty amazing. So ESPN radio coverage starting at 4, the kickoff right around 4:45 our time. And then for us, of course, all the NFL games over the weekend. I'll tell you all about the schedule for both 1430 and 790 a little bit later, courtesy of Ed Dunkel and his outstanding business, Precision Civil Engineering. I'll tell you about everything that Ed does for Fresno State at that time. Also, we'll talk about the KFC local operators in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman, and our friends at Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing, where they give me the time to tell you about the weather. All of that will be a little bit later in the proceedings. Only on Friday do we do this, as you know, and I thank the sponsors for their understanding and flexibility in this so that we can bring up our great friend. And actually, unfortunately, for the last time during this academic year until we kick it back off next year, but it is the wrap-up that we've had to wait 2 weeks for because we haven't had Friday shows because of the Christmas and New Year's holidays and the day after each, and that means we finally get to our good friend Brian Panish, Mr. Top Dog himself, to wrap up the 2025 season. Brian, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Tony. Happy New Year, and I'm excited to get going for the next season. Coach ends the second season.
No doubt. And, you know, by the way, I'm very glad that this January is a little more settled than last January when you and I were having those conversations with the wildfires going on down there. And I know the flooding has been tough, but it has to be better right now than it was last year at this time, right?
Yeah. You know, Tony, it's better, but there really hasn't been a lot of change. It's 1 year into it. When you drive on Pacific Coast Highway in some areas of Malibu that you didn't even know where the fire was, I mean, it's pretty amazing to see it even today, a year later. It really is amazing.
Yeah, David Muir, the lead anchor for ABC World News, actually flew back out, as you know, to L.A. the other day to revisit the situation. And Katie Turr, who works for now MS Now, NBC's offshoot, she grew up there and her childhood home got wiped out. And most, as you mentioned, are right now where they were last year with this. And some are coming back and some are not. So I know it's tough, but last year when I talked to you and was literally trying to protect your house and everything else around you, because not only the fires, but all the people that were doing what people do, trying to take advantage of somebody else's tragedy. And that's an unfortunate offshoot of human behavior, as you and I know. Anyway, I hope everything goes well. And for everybody out there, I hope they do have a great 2026. All right, Brian, before we get started about the recap of Fresno State, I always want to address legal issues with you since you are the best lawyer on the planet. It's me speaking, but I think it's backed up by the fact you never lose. But I want to ask you about what happened here. And we saw some of it manifest last night because Lucas was part of that move from Wisconsin to Miami and had the targeting call last night. But what we saw, and it was resolved with the move or purported move from Washington to LSU of Damond Williams Jr., which was today avoided. The conflict was avoided because Darren Heitner jumped in. I mentioned it yesterday. The agent for Williams was also, or at the time anyway, the agent for the coach at Washington, a huge conflict of interest. Then Heitner jumps in, makes the settlement so that Damond's going to stay at Washington, but made the point, Brian, that we're probably going to see lawsuits in the future where not only is the athlete who signed that contract facing big exposure, but the university that accepts him will also face that legal exposure. Is that going to be something that will stop this kind of movement, Brian? Just curious.
You know, I would think it might. I think the kid got scared at the end. I mean, it is kind of interesting that the Wasserman agency represents both Coach Fish and the player, which, you know, that's bound to have come up. And, you know, LSU's going to do whatever they can to get any player they can. So until they stop that, and players are going to do this. I'm surprised. You know, there's been a couple other incidents similar to this. I've read about now people are insuring the money that they're providing. I don't know if you've heard about that, Tony, which makes sense. If you're going to pay a guy $5 million and he can't play, you know, it might have been good to have a little insurance on that.
Well, you and I talked, too, about the Troy Aikman attitude, and I found it to be not only relevant, but probably how I would feel, which is any benefactor who gives money and then someone wants to skip out on you. Troy said the kid, and he still hasn't been named. I don't know if you found out. We talked about it a couple weeks ago. But he said, you know what? I gave him a substantial amount of money. He skipped, went somewhere else, and didn't even say thank you. Brian, does that mean this is not sustainable? I guess at certain schools you're going to have a multiplicity of benefactors. But by and large across the country, if independent of the legal issue, which is enormous, if you are alienating that group of benefactors, are we going to see these wells dry up here in a big hurry?
Some of them, but I mean, I do think that guy from Texas Tech is going to let up. I don't think so. And I see how they're getting all these players now.
$4 billion that you have, or at least that's the worth. And the other thing that I brought up to you, and that is the line, and I heard it again this morning on Get Up and from guys like Lewis Riddick and others saying, it's great now that we have parity in college football because of the combination of freedom of movement and NIL. But Brian, that parity only exists within the haves, right? A Texas Tech was already a have, maybe not the level of have that you saw in the SEC, but they were still part of the Power Four.
They're playing these guys in the Power Four, exactly. They're playing all the top teams. They've had the opportunity. They've won a game each year. When Leach was there, they would beat a good team in the conference. They'd have a big upset, but it wasn't sustainable. Now they're at a different level.
And so what does it mean then for the rest? You and I have talked about the two ships leaving shore with the haves on ship one, and you better be on that second ship. Otherwise, as Mike Tyson would say, you're headed to Bolivian. Without the select few, which I don't know if it's going to ultimately be 25 or 30 or 40 teams, whatever it is, or up to 60, whatever it is. For the rest, Brian, if you were king for a day, would you be advising those current group of six, I guess, if we want to look at the pack in that regard, would you be advising them that they're better off forming their own national championship? You know, Pat Hill has made the comment, and you know this, saying he has no interest ever in playing on the B court. He wants to play with the big boys. I feel the same way. But from a reality check, do the people that right now run the group of 5/6 conferences have to be realistic that they just cannot ultimately compete if we don't get a legislative change here about the structure we have right now?
I don't think they're ready to accept that. And until they are, they're not going to venture into that area.
Would you care as a fan? I mean, if Fresno State
if Fresno State was playing in the Big Sky, playing for the national championship like Montana State, I still would care. I still would say it's not the same.
So, I mean, we've talked so often that, yes, if you have, we've used the example of Steve Ballmer decided to take Podunk U and make them a cause celeb, whoever it might be, and just start funneling untold amount of money toward them, he could make them relevant. But if you don't have the schedule, is there any way you truly could be relevant given the fact that you could play whoever you want in non-conference? Your conference will damn you when it's time for the committee to make decisions.
Yeah, probably. But, you know, if you get in there, all you got to do is get in. If you're ready to go, some years, some teams are ready. Those teams that were in there this year were not ready to advance in the playoffs.
But
no way.
Look, to that point, though, Brian, it looks to me like that, and, you know, Feinbaum, you know, said the little secret out loud, right? Get rid of the group of five schools. They are not worthy of being in. You and I are old enough to know, and I brought it up on air, when after the first two Super Bowls, Lombardi said, these AFL guys don't belong on the same field with us. And if not for the Jets upset of the Colts and then the ensuing win by Kansas City the next year, I don't know if the Super Bowl would have lasted at that particular point. Collegiately right now, if you've got guys like Feinbaum basically saying, even if we go to 16, it needs to be all 16 of the big boys, What do you do legally? Can you force your way in? If the big boys say no, it's just going to be our game and we're going to lock the gate on you?
Probably not. Probably not going to be, unless you get in some legal battle. I don't see what the claim's going to be. I think it's going to be problematic.
Well, that means, I guess, the Al Davis just win baby applies right now. I mean,
yeah, that's it. And you got to play every game like not like there aren't going to be any more games. It's even more important to win now.
Are you satisfied with the Pac-8 right now? We know how it came about.
We'd like to see some better team. You know, we'd like to see him pick off one of them or two of those AAC teams, you know, Memphis, Tulane. I just don't see that right now happening.
I'd brought
but
this
I,
up.
I think it's
going
to be okay to begin. You know, like next year we're probably going to play one team twice. Probably Washington State will play twice.
And that means potentially you could play them three times because at the end I would assume that you're going to try to pick the top two. And I brought this about this last season with Leffler a couple weeks ago. The good news is you went 9-4. The frustration is that you had a chance to win a couple of other games and you didn't. But the one downside was of the schools that are going to be your conference mates now, you were 2-3 against those schools, Oregon State being one of them that was not in conference, but you did play them. And of course, they'll be in conference this year coming up. And you did lose twice at home. Did that take any of the luster at all off the 9-4 year, the teams you lost to, particularly at home?
No. I mean, I think if you said before the season, we're going to give you a 9-4 season and win a bowl game, and I think people would have said, I would take that. And I certainly take that. I think the way the team finished the season was good. It shows a lot for the upcoming season. I think the program's heading in the right direction. I went to the game just so I wanted to see how they did. And I think they played pretty well. The defense, you know, Tone, I was talking to several people, and I'm trying to figure out when was the last time Fresno State defense was that good. And I mentioned that Coach Entz, of course, told me it was 1988 or something when the stats were the same. But, I mean, I think back to maybe the first year Pat Hill, second year Kevin Coyle was the defensive coordinator. They had that big win over Utah. The defense, they put Utah in the bowl game. The defense was tough. I mean, has there been times since then, Tony, when they've been better that you've seen than this year and that back there when Pat Hill first came?
Well, I'll tell you what, the most impressive defense when healthy, okay, what it to me was the 2005 defense when it was healthy. But we saw what happened. Attrition started taking its toll. Key losses in the defensive.
Well, we lost Riley, right? Didn't Riley go?
Yeah, Riley was a huge difference maker. And had he been healthy, the USC game might have been different. And that to me was the best. Yeah, that was the best and most physical defense. And the thing that I loved about that defense, and sometimes it was a little frustrating, but, you know, we always talk about playing with your hair on fire. Pat had to tone that defense down. Those guys were so incredibly aggressive that there were times when you had to watch it because they would go over the boundary. Not that they were cheap shot guys, but that they were so amped to play the game. You know, really impressive. In 2001, the same thing was happening. And we, you know, how many times we've talked about the Edwards hit on Gilligan and all that other stuff that, you know, changed everything. Those defenses I thought were great. This one, statistically, we talked about it all year, except for what happened at Colorado State. Because even the San Diego State game, Ryan, they were just, as you and I talked right after that game, they were only down two possessions. They were down 16-0 going to the fourth quarter of that game. And that's because the defense kept them in, even though the offense was doing nothing. And you know, being a really good defensive player yourself, the toughest thing to do is to hold another team down when every time you turn around, your offense is three and out. You know, they don't give you the old line, right? Would you guys mind getting a first down or two so I can get to the Gatorade tub, right, before I have to go put the helmet back on and get out there? I mean, it was exceptional to watch this team play D. I just wish they would have had a bigger stage when it came for bowl time.
And the turnovers, Tony. I mean, they just seemed to get those in waves. In some of those games, the turnovers were, you know, huge. And the plays that were made to create the turnovers, I just think that the people on defense made plays. The offense didn't do them any favors this year. You know, they were on the field plenty of time. Although then at times of games, like the last game, the offense was able to go on some long 8-9 minute drives.
I've asked you all year long. And by the way, to people that haven't heard, Christian Martin, who's a backup at Maryland and actually one of Abbott's teammates.
He's going to keep committed.
Yeah, he's the one that Jackson has reported and it appears to be legit that he's coming in. And we said there's no way in the world, I was just talking to Jackson about it last week, no way in the world that Matt was going to go into this season with just two inexperienced guys there, talented though they may be in Mandel and Rose. And so that would appear to be the case right now. And I guess, Brian, as I've asked you over and over again, the Bulldogs are not going to suffer major attrition in that running back triumvirate that they have right now. And that's you would say this about Luke. And I wonder how much was it with Luke, and you talked about proximity and his family and everything. How much is it?
The family at the bowl game. I was talking to them extensively. They had the brother, young little brothers, him wearing number 2 jerseys. He had his child there, his mother, his father. It was great. I took pictures with them and just told them how great it was that Speedy was able. You know, there are a few people, Tony. Many are called, few are chosen, that are Bulldogs and Braves. Very few. But one of them...
Yeah,
actually won a national championship on Monday night, Tony.
You're referring to the what was a great, great FCS game. That's what you're referring to.
They had some great games went down in state. They had a heck of a program up there.
But, you know,
but
by the
Tony,
way,
one back to the Bulldogs, I wanted to make a point, and this is what I've seen, just, you know, analyzing and watching what's happening. It seems to me that Matt Entz decided that he's going to go in big with his whatever NIL money he has, and he's going to keep the guys that he wants. And it seems to me that they invested heavily in to keep the players there that they like, that fit their system well. And if you notice, very few players went in the portal, you know, a few surprises. But, you know, I could see Anderson going. I could see it. Well, you know, he'd be more exposed there and he'd get money, and that's good for him. And a few other guys. But the other people that were staying, I think the coach has done a good job of developing culture for kids wanting to stay. They're not going to get as much money. Many of those guys could have went and got more money. But I think he's selling the program, and the fact that they, it appears to me, I don't know the numbers, used the money to keep the players was a good thing, and I think it's going to put them ahead of the game now that they have players that have been there through one spring, through season, back again for, you know, an off season, a weightlifting, training, being in the program, getting another spring in, and I think that bodes well for the Bulldogs. And taking, as I heard Matt say, there's some key additions they're looking to get, but they're not looking for 30 guys in the portal. I mean, maybe they're looking at 10 guys. Right. A few here or there, maybe. But they have specific needs, and they're obvious quarterback, you know, secondary probably, defensive line, they're always looking, and offensive line. They got the receivers, most of them coming back. I think it's very promising right now for Bulldog football. Now, you know, you're open with the Trojans, but so what? That's okay. You know, it's not a far trip.
Well, the other thing is the SC's mystique, and I'm not saying Fresno State's going to go down there and win. And obviously, you know, we talk all the time about 2005. We just rolled past the 20th anniversary of that 05 game back on November 19th. So it's just been a couple of months ago here. But right now, SC is not the SC that you and I grew up with, and it's not the SC of Pete Carroll. And I'm not saying the Bulldogs can go down there and win, but I am saying with the style of football, as you and I talked before the season started, that Matt Entz likes to play, it keeps the Fresno State in the game. The downside is sometimes teams that you are vastly superior to also hang around only because of the lack of possessions. But it does mean Fresno State can go in there and they can be competitive and they can make that a game into the fourth quarter. I believe that sincerely. I don't know how you feel about it, and I know you're going to be down there and you're going to have to put up with a lot of SC nonsense, but do you believe they can be in the game in the fourth quarter?
Well, I mean, I think I feel a little more confident. You know, the last couple of times, you know, obviously went down there and Jake Haner goes down in the first half and Logan Fleck takes his first snaps. And you know, we weren't playing terrible in that game. You know, if we'd have made a score on that one drive, we'd have been back in the game. So then we were in it. You know, I think we went and played there. I think Kedford played there another time. DeRuiter played there. We had the quarterback from Duke. We didn't play very well. So we've struggled playing us. We've done much better with UCLA. But I think, yeah, I think we can be in the game if we can run the ball. SC's getting a new defensive coordinator. I'm sure there are going to be changes in their defensive staff. I don't know who they're going to hire yet, but they're going to make some moves. Obviously, the coordinator probably takes some of those people with him to where he went to Penn State. So there's going to be changes for USC. It's going to be, I think, the first game. Is that right, Tony? It'll be the first game for USC also.
By the way, if we can run the ball, and I want to get back to this because Matt Smith, you know, speaking about the FCS championship game, Matt Smith's done a wonderful job. And our buddy Robert P. said, you know, give him his flowers. And I do. Matt's a terrific guy. But I do wonder, are we now going to see stability with Matt Entz here in regard to whoever the O-line coach is? It has been, as you know, a revolving door, and I think it set the team back. Is this going to be a stable situation, or do you never say that at this level of football? Because if you have success, there's a tendency that somebody else can offer you more money. How do you feel about that?
Well, I mean, I think generally that's true. I mean, Crabtree is an up-and-coming coach. He was with Matt at USC. He went to Oklahoma State. He's a top recruit. Got an opportunity to go to the Purdue Big Ten. He's going to take that job all day long. We don't blame him for that. I think what's going to happen, though, is that Entz is going to move his tight end coach, who's a longtime line coach, Big Ten line coach, to be the line coach. And it seems to me that he seems to be happy there and wants to be with Entz, and he may be there for a while. So I think he's got something with him. He's an experienced coach, obviously coaching the NFL, coached many years at Iowa, was an offensive coordinator, and I think he likes Fresno, and I think he's going to stay there with Ensign and be the line coach for a while. But I think we will get some stability. And, you know, the line, you know, played okay. They got to just, you know, keep getting better players and getting better and being able to run the ball because, obviously, you see when, like the last game, I was sitting on the sideline telling somebody, this is a Matt Entz kind of game, man. They're just running the ball every play. And they clocked. Just, and I think they ended up having made like 59 rushes, I think, for the game.
Well, that we mentioned that style points is not what
he's not looking
about.
For style points. He's looking for running the ball over 50 times in the game. And
well,
some of those are going to be negative plays.
Well, the other thing he likes is where everybody else is gnashing their teeth because it's field goals instead of touchdowns, threes instead of sixes. What Matt likes is if those threes mean that you are far enough ahead that you don't have to worry about the other team coming back because your defense continues to hold them down, he's more than happy to beat you with death by a thousand cuts, if you know what I mean. He doesn't have to. It's not Al Davis, Daryl LaMonica, and bombs away every particular get down.
Well,
you know,
he's a defensive coach, and that's his mindset. And if they don't score, you're going to win. They can't beat you if they don't score.
Now, some places that wouldn't play well, but here you know this.
No, it's fine. But you know, we've gone the other way, too. We've had the Al Davises, the Mad Bombers, coaching, throwing the ball deep all the time.
Sure.
We've had that.
Well, you played for a coach, Jim Sweeney, that
Jim
never
Sweeney,
met.
The original Mad Bomber. He thought LaMonica was playing out there. Kevin Sweeney, he's throwing the Kevin Sweeney threw that moon ball.
Well, also, the I always think of two things, Brian. The great line that the one year that Ohio State was well ahead of Michigan, but called timeout to push in a, to push in another touchdown late to for no reason, and they asked Woody Hayes afterward, why did you call timeout late to put one more on the board, and he said, well, I did that because they're talking about that and the extra point, and he goes, I did that because they wouldn't let me go for three, and because he went for two after he scored the touchdown. And they asked him why he would do that, and he said, because it's Michigan, and that's what we do here. And Sweeney, of course, you know, put 94 up on New Mexico here in 91.
He actually did it. Scored the 101th point the ref didn't allow.
Yes, they did. Stoney Case, we've talked about it. Stoney Case fumbled the ball. It was a lateral. He fumbled the ball. Fresno State recovered it. I was down on the field afterward. I asked the lead official, and I said, wasn't that a fumble? And he said, yes, it was, but I wasn't going to be on the field when a team scored 100 points at this particular time in college football, meaning we were not Cumberland and Georgia Tech at 222-0 or whatever a long time ago. It should have been 101. And trust me, one thing about that, the sidebar to it, Sweeney might have gone for two. Okay, I'm telling you right now. I'm telling you, it would have not been beyond the possibility that after putting it in the end zone, so, okay, you're at 100. Would that not have been great theater if he would have gone for two at that point? And I'm telling you, as mad as he was about some of the comments made back in Albuquerque prior, I'm saying it was a possibility. You played for him. What say you, old wise one?
Oh, he had one for two. But, Tony, do you know that the defensive coordinator for New Mexico in that game was the defensive coordinator for the Bulldogs when they gave up the most points? That's the most points the Bulldogs scored. But in another game, the Bulldogs gave up the most points, and the game they gave the most points was against Hawaii and Cole Brennan. And the same defensive coordinator, Dan Brown, was the coordinator for New Mexico and for the Bulldogs in Bulldog Stadium in the two games where the Bulldogs scored the most, or not had the most scored on them, and the Bulldogs scored the most on the opponent.
Yeah, watching Hawaii show up at Bulldog Stadium putting something in the 60s was really, really jarring. And, you know, the game in 91, the best offshoot of that was, we've talked about it so many times, Dave Campbell, Sue Campbell, of course, you know, was a fine second baseman for the Padres and went on to be a color commentator. Why he was doing color commentating on a football game, goodness only knows. You'd have to ask the guys down at California Sports because they were producing the game. But Randy Rosenblum was doing the game, and Kevin Sweeney was actually on the sideline as a sideline reporter in that New Mexico game. And it got so out of hand that they brought Kevin up to the booth. And so Kevin asked the question about, do you think it's wise to score 100 points against an opponent? And, you know, it was, and Randy Rosenblum's response was, what do I think? I honestly don't know what I think. That was Randy's answer because he did not want to alienate Jim. Did it surprise you that Jim put 94 up? All these years later, what do you say about it?
No. Never. Never.
And in fairness,
I saw him put
you know
up
what?
62 on Boise, and he would have put up more if he could when Kreiner was the coach. And oh, my gosh. Oh, yeah.
Also,
he would
in
put
fairness,
the points. He didn't. He wasn't a guy worried about running up the score.
Well, also, in that game, and I know it's been a long time ago, the Bulldogs put most of it up in the first half. They really did not try to light up the scoreboard in the second half. They didn't kneel on it the whole time. But I'm saying they really essentially just continued to play football, but they weren't throwing bombs away in the second half. They were trampling an overrun New Mexico team. And there was a lot of byplay, as you know, at that time between Fresno State and New Mexico in years prior. And it was Jim's payback. That's for sure. And
well, you know, though, Sweeney's a weenie. That chant was good. I think New Mexico won the year before, didn't they? Or maybe the next year.
I think it was 89 that the whole problem started and then ended up with the 91
well, that
game.
That coach used to be the coach at Long Beach State.
Yeah.
The head coach for Shepherd. I think his name, Mike Shepherd.
Yeah, I think that's who Doug Gaynor, who, of course, from here,
right.
played at Roosevelt. And
Gaynor
was
the quarterback. Yeah, he was. Doug Gaynor. I think I played against him. He's good.
Now Doug would have been. Well, see, Doug was there around 83 or so. So I don't think you played with him.
Maybe
unless
a little bit. I might have seen him playing after. But
right.
He was pretty good.
That was a great athlete at Roosevelt and a good guy and part of the old EBL, the Erickson Basketball League. And boy, he would show up and we would play and he could jump to the moon. He was an unbelievably talented guy. And I was a pretty good Long Beach State team that they
was
had.
He
and also
Roosevelt High School? Did he go to Roosevelt High School?
He went to Roosevelt High School. Yes,
he did. He's a rough rider.
He was a hell of a multi-sport athlete. There's no doubt about it. All right, Brian. Listen, out of time. I always enjoy talking to you. Last question until you and I reconvene. Not that long from now. It's going to be months wise, but it'll get there in a hurry. Are you ready for this team to have the big breakout year as they get into the pack? I mean, when you look at it, that you know, I asked you last visit, how do you grade them? And it was before the bowl game, of course. You said, I give them a solid B. Is that where you look at the year as a solid B, or was it better than that now in retrospect?
Well, I think a solid B. I mean, you know, look, there were some games they won they probably shouldn't have won. There's some games they lost they could have won. But, you know, the Colorado State game was a very poor showing, very disappointing in that game. On the road, you know, big game, they just didn't show up. The rest of the year, they played hard, and the team played hard. I think the coach got as much as he could out of the players he had. The players that knew the portal, I mean, some of those players they brought in, they really hit home runs on those players. Both linebackers came in, really did well. And I think that they made the right moves on who they brought in. They developed some players, and those players are staying. I think that's a big deal for them.
Well, I look forward to next year, and as I let you go, I always appreciate the time, Paisan. Any thought on who wins tonight and who will win a week from Monday when the improbable
I think Indiana's got the best players. Indiana's got the best players. I saw that game at the Rose Bowl. I mean, you just look at them. They had a better player than Alabama in every position. Felt bad for Kalen Moore getting his ass kicked, but that was reality. Indiana was just a much better team. They were better prepared. They were better coached. And they hit harder. They played better. And they executed. They're a darn good team. But I am surprised. I got to tell you about Miami and how that crystal ball has gone into that Miami program. And then 4 years, or maybe the last 3 years only, has really taken them from barely being 500 to the national championship game. And Miami, they look like an SEC team. They've got speed. They've got playmakers. And they are fast, Miami. They look like the Miami of old on defense.
Well, and they've got a big, strong offensive line, and they're going to do what the 49ers had hoped to do, and I don't think they will, which is to play a title game at home because they'll be at Hard Rock a week from Monday to play. Clovis Dave asked, how in hell did they not call pass interference in that last pass last night? There's no doubt, Dave, it was PI. It's just hard to get it on the final play of the game like that, though I will tell you, Brian, as opposed to the NFL, where if you call that, it's spotted the foul, so it's going to go to the 1 yard line. The fact that it would have just been at basically the 20 yard line, because it would have been a 15 yard penalty, it would have been more just to give Chambliss, who by the way had his waiver denied, so he'll be entering the NFL draft. But I think giving him one more shot from the 20 yard line would have been more than fair last night. I don't know that the officials saw how much that Stribling was being interfered with. I don't know that he looked at it and said not worth it as much as I think he might have been screened.
It was a terrible, terrible call. But again, you said, they would have had it at the 20, and then if they could score on that play, are they going to kick the field goal from the 20?
Well, no, but they're still
the field
down.
Goal's not helping them. They're down by five.
They had the best. had the best field goal kicker in America, a guy who's going to make it in the NFL. And he kisses the upright twice, and if that one from 52 earlier in the second half would have gone through, now admittedly the game might have been played differently at that point, they would have been in a position down just two, and wouldn't that have been interesting? But it didn't happen that way. I would have liked to see Chambliss get one shot from the 20, one time, one shot, untimed down, that's it, and see what would happen. But, you know, it didn't, and Miami deserves it. I don't think they will beat either Indiana or Oregon, but I will leave you with this question. You and I know that the last time Indiana was relevant, I mentioned they had to stop a Simpson this time, Ty Simpson. They had to stop O.J. Simpson the last time they were relevant, which was New Year's Day in 1968. If I would have told you at any point that you were going to say with a straight face that Indiana has the best players in college football, would you have thought you had lost your mind?
Yes. Was Lee Corso, he wasn't even coaching there then, was he?
No, he wasn't. But and I'll tell you what, I know that Cignetti's done a wonderful job. He really has. Maybe he'll smile someday. Maybe not, but I know this. Never mind transfer portal. Without NIL, there's no way in the world he is able to do this. And that, again, is the parody that belongs to the haves that unfortunately doesn't belong to the have-nots. And that, I guess, is what guys like you and me are going to have to reconcile as we move forward being fans of college football, right?
No doubt about it. But the NIL, you know, Mark Cuban, just remember that. Mark Cuban is the reason why Indiana is back.
I know you have mentioned that, and I know that it's near and dear to his heart. And when he sold off the majority stake of the Dallas Mavericks, he had a lot of extra cash. So, and good for Indiana. And you know, I still think Oregon has a good shot at him tonight, but we'll find out. And here's the promo on our air tonight at 4 o'clock. Brian, always great talking to you. I'll certainly talk to you off air during the off season, but we'll reconvene and we'll get there before you know it and start the 2026 season in the pack. And we'll see how it works out. Always appreciate it, my friend.
All right. Happy New Year. Good talking to you, Tom. Take care. God bless.
You too, Brian. I'll see you. All right. Our great friend, Brian Panish. Take a break. Come back. Tell you about the schedule. And as I mentioned, get ready for a game tonight. In Atlanta, if it can come anywhere near the fourth quarter last night, then you really have something, and you have two teams in Indiana and Oregon who played a very, very close game at Autzen earlier in the year. So look forward to it. Tell you about the schedule on both 790 and 1430 for the entirety of the weekend, including all those NFL games. Do that after this as the Bulldog Hour continues on this Friday on Central Valley Sports Leader 1430 ESPN. Everybody, welcome back. 2:47. About 5 minutes ago in the show, hand it off to Phil. His outstanding show behind the bench for 1 hour today, and it'll be time at 4 o'clock through ESPN Radio for the second semifinal as Oregon and Indiana will play the Peach Bowl officially in Atlanta, but we know it as the second semifinal. I want to go over the schedules for both 1430 and 790 right now and also acknowledge all of our sponsors. I do want to correct one thing I had mentioned when I was talking to Brian about the 94 points and the question about whether Fresno State should score 100 or not. I think it was Dave Campbell who actually asked the question initially, and then it was volleyed around the booth at that particular point. And Kevin was up there because he had been on the sideline. And like I said, Randy was in an impossible no-win situation. And I love Randy, and I don't want everybody to think I was giving him a bad time. I brought it up to him before. It's a really awkward situation when someone asks you that kind of question, and there's no way you could possibly answer it without alienating somebody. So I don't blame Randy at all for being Switzerland at that particular point. All right, guys, I want to tell you about the upcoming schedule, courtesy of Ed Dunkel and his outstanding business, Precision Civil Engineering Planning, Land Surveying, Civil Engineering, Landscape Architecture, Construction Management, all there under one roof, 449-4500 or precisioneng.net, or if you prefer, precisioneng.net, either way. And we always want to commend Ed for the great fundraising he does for the Lyles College of Engineering on campus. Ed, a proud alum of the Lyles College of Engineering at Fresno State. And the goal has always been and met beautifully to unify athletics and academics to provide more funding resources to students. And a lot of the alums the graduates from Lyles go right to work at Precision Civil Engineering, a company that does tremendous work throughout the valley and great fundraising all across the great San Joaquin. As far as the weather goes, I'll get to that in a moment, and I'll also get to KFC, but I do want to touch upon the schedule beyond Phil and the fact that we have the national championship semifinal tonight, as we did last night. And, of course, we'll have the title game for you a week from Monday at Hard Rock in close to Miami, suburb of Miami. And so you have a home opportunity for the Hurricanes. Nobody saw that coming when they were the 10 seed, but they're going to be underdogs, whether it's Oregon or Indiana. And we'll find out, of course, tonight who the other participant will be. Now, as far as the weekend for us, it's NFL, NFL, and NFL. You have six huge, very important games because it is playoff time, the wild card weekend. We will have all six games for you from Westwood One. Two tomorrow, the Rams are in Carolina in the afternoon. They're 10-point favorites. They lost a game in Carolina unexpectedly a few weeks ago that actually cost the Rams the shot at the number one seed. I would expect the Rams to win and win easily tomorrow. And for Ralph Wood and everybody, yes, that is officially my kiss of death to your beloved Rams. I keep trying it, but I think the Rams are going to be just fine. I believe Devontae is going to play. That is the last word that I've heard about everything going on with him physically. After that game, and that game, by the way, is on Fox tomorrow. And, of course, again, we have all the games for you on 1430 from Westwood One. The late game, the Packers and the Bears at Soldier Field, that is on Prime. That means Al Michaels and the very busy Kirk Herbstreit, by the way, who's been doing everything. And so that one will be Prime for you on Saturday night. And then on Sunday, you have three games. You have the Jags, and the Bills are going to be a tough game for Josh Allen and company against a really good Jags team. That will be on CBS. Then the 49ers follow at 1:30 in Philly. That's on Fox. And then the night game for NBC would be the Patriots and the Chargers. And then finally on Monday, you have that wraparound final game. That's the ESPN ABC game. And that is the Texans heading to Pittsburgh to play Aaron Rodgers and the Steelers. And one more time, I know you look at records and say, why in the world do you have teams with better records on the road? It's because in the NFL, they've decided that the four division winners will be seeded 1, 2, 3, and 4, irrespective of records in regard to those wild card teams. And that's why you're seeing better teams ending up on the road. We've seen it happen in other years, and teams like New Orleans got upset in Seattle that one year because of it. But it's going to be a tough task, I think, for some of the clubs like Carolina, even though they're hosting to win games. We'll see how it plays out. I don't expect the 49ers to go very far now. They had their chance last weekend and got shut down. And because of it, they have to stay on the road. The only way they could possibly be back at home before the Super Bowl, which of course is on their home field, would be if the Packers continue to win. The Packers would have to start winning. The Packers would have to win in Chicago. The 49ers would have to win in Philly. Then the Packers would go to Seattle. They'd have to win there. The 49ers would have to win whoever's left, probably the Rams. And then you'd still end up with another challenge. So for the 49ers, it's going to be almost impossible to get back home before the Super Bowl, which is why they may very well be out in Philly. And if Green Bay loses in Chicago, which they probably will, the 49ers, even if they find a way to win in Philly, would end up at Lumen Field in Seattle the next week. So it's a way of saying easy schedule this year, nice try, but the injuries too great. And I know that Trent Williams is practicing right now. And incredibly, Fred Warner is jogging around, but I can't imagine that they're going to allow Fred to play. I know that he's always lobbying, but there's no way you're going to risk the rest of his career by bringing him back. And the 49ers probably are going to lose in Philly on Sunday. We'll see what happens. We'll have all the games for you. All right, the other reminders here about the schedule. Normally 3 to 6 with Phil's great show Behind the Bench, including Thursdays at Fashion Furniture with our good friend Rod Avedikian. Again, best furniture on the planet, nothing like it in all of California. The great conversation of Phil's show, Good Eats as well. You can always reach Phil on the Lee's Air hotline. That's 559-320-1430. Paul Metters has two fine shows. Sunbird Sports Show about Fresno Pacific Athletics. By the way, they're on our air over the weekend. That show normally 6 to 7 on 790 on Wednesdays, and then the long-running show on 1430 on Saturday mornings, 10 a.m. to noon, from First Ring Sports, Central Valley Sports Report. We're with you each and every weekday. At 2 o'clock, you can reach me, tdad1@att.net, T-D-A-D, the number 1@att.net. First names are fine. Everything for the station, 1430ESPNFresno.com. Get the live links and podcasts there. Get the app. Makes it a lot easier to listen. And, of course, for us, it'll be a lot of discussion next week about not only what happens over the weekend with the NFL, but keep in mind that Fresno State, basketball-wise, tomorrow is at Viejas to play an 8 o'clock game on CBS Sports Network. I'll certainly talk to Paul about it on Monday. The women are in Phoenix to play Grand Canyon tomorrow at noon. That game will be available on the app, themountainwest.com app, so themw.com. And find it on your computer or the Roku or whatever you might have, Fire TV, whatever. We'll talk about all of that with Matt Norville next Thursday as well. All right, the other reminders here before we skate on out and hand it off to Phil and get ready for the 4 o'clock start with the national championship semifinal. Want to thank our friends at Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing for allowing me the time every day to tell you about the weather. Again, great local people, been in NorCal and Central California since 1981. You see the avocado green and blue trucks all over the place. I've had them to do work even during COVID. Great people. Give them a call, 825-5337, or go to the web at leesair.com. Anything you need, central air, plumbing, heating, or roofing, they'll be there in a big hurry. You'll see the avocado green and blue truck pull up. As far as the weather goes, it's kind of a same old, same old. You know, it was breezy yesterday, and some people got some rain early in the day yesterday. Now we've settled in. The winds have died down, and it's cold and foggy, and that's going to be the forecast for most of the next 7 days. 55 today, a low of 34, 58 tomorrow, fog in the morning, and then sun in the afternoon. 57 on Sunday, 57 on Monday. Again, the lows in the high 30s, 58 on Tuesday, 59 and 60 to round out the 7 day. And keep in mind, in the outlying areas, you might get very close, if not below 32 degrees. So be careful in that regard if you have anything sensitive to it from a plant standpoint or anybody in agriculture. Be very careful, obviously, anytime that you have frost and potentially freezing temperatures out there. Anyway, thanks everybody at Lee's for allowing us the time to bring you the weather. Again, leesair.com, 825-5337, 825-LEES, and the Lee's Air Hotline to give Phil a call. And now we bring our guests up, 559-320-1430. Then finally, the last reminder comes courtesy of our friends at KFC, the local operators in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. Right now, they have the brand new Zinger chicken sandwich available. A crispy hand-breaded chicken filet that just sounds great, by the way, right now. Seasoned just right and served hot on a toasted bun with cool, crisp lettuce and creamy sauce that hits every craving. It's bold, it's spicy, and it's finger-licking good, and it's available for you right now. So whether you crave spice or just a great taste, the Zinger delivers it to you with the delicious KFC crunch that you love. So what are you waiting for? Grab a new Zinger sandwich today and stop by your local KFC's beyond just that chicken sandwich and pick up the $10 bucket 8-piece or 8 tenders on Tuesdays. You have the country fried steak for $5.99 on Wednesdays. You have the KFC pot pies available all week long. And if you stop in to pick up anything, a bucket or a sandwich or whatever, tell them thanks for the great support that they give to athletics throughout the valley. And we really appreciate the local operators of KFC in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. Thanks to Jorge. Thanks to Brian. Bill is coming up, and then at 4 o'clock, it's time for the national championship semifinal, number 2, Oregon and Indiana in Atlanta. And also the Lakers tonight have the Bucks over on 790 at 7:15. We will talk all about everything on Monday with Paul, and Jackson will be back with me twice next week. Matt Norville is with us now on Thursdays, Jack Furtig on Wednesdays. By the way, I hope Jack had a very successful surgery today. I will talk to him about that over the weekend. And we are really appreciative of Brian Panish from the time he spends with us. And we'll get back to Brian as we roll into the 2026 season. All right, we're done. Bill is coming up. See you guys on Monday. Enjoy football over the weekend on KFIG Fresno.